a passionate instigator and dynamic problem solver, Dr. Kevin Ross Emery, the host of the Dr. Kevin Radio Show, will be taking you outside the box, behind the curtain, and identifying the load of BS we are fed every day. And now, Dr. Kevin.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the Dr. Kevin Show here on Om Time, where we're changing the world. Wait for it. One Om at a time. Here on the last Thursday of the month, heading into Memorial Day weekend, we are glad, pleased, honored, doing a little happy dance. If you listen closely, you can hear me tap. That we have none other than one of my favorite people and one of my two favorite co-hosts on my podcast, on our podcast, Laughing, Loving, and Alive, Rain Thomas, as our guest this week. Rain always has an incredible amount of stuff going on. She's always doing good work, helping a lot of times, raising money or raising profile for either people who have issues with cancer or families of people. She has been involved with breast cancer awareness and helping these individuals for, I don't know, if she's been around so long, I don't know, she may have been helping them for longer than we've had breasts. I'm not sure. She is joining us today with some exciting news, and then we're going to take the world for a spin because there's never a lack of energy exchange, joy, and celebration when Rain and I get on the line together, whether it's here on the Dr. Kevin Show or on Laughing, Loving, and Alive. I do want to remind you, this is a live call-in show. So if you would like to get a little Rain and Dr. Kevin loving, you can call in at 202-570-7057. Again, that's 202-570-7057. Call in and we shall shower you, no pun intended, with laughter, joy, and positivity. And, you know, and then I'll speak and you'll get a slap upside your head. But the rest of it was all Rain. Rain, welcome. How are you?
I am good, Dr. Kevin. How are you doing today?
Well, you know, it's beautiful weather. It's only been in the high 70s, low 80s, which is better than the 90s yesterday because I walk when I do my radio show. I walk when I do my clients. So I've been chugging in about 10 to 12 miles a day. And, feeling great and having a lot of stuff. I mean, all my planters, all my like garden stuff. I have all these felt gardens all over the yard, front and back. And I've got stuff shooting up that's like lettuce and spinach and beets and carrots and tomatoes and bunching onions and chives and a whole herb box that's starting to. Did you ever see On a Clear Day, You Can See Forever?
Yes, that's one of my favorite songs, too.
Yeah. And, you know, at the beginning when she's singing to the plants and they are rising up and she sings this little song about rise up and she's watering. You remember that scene?
I do.
I feel like I'm channeling Barbara Streisand, you know, with my plants. I'm singing to them. I'm talking to them. I'm watering
them. But I always
them.
Thought you were channeling her.
Ah, hello, gorgeous. What do you mean?
Talking about iconic.
Yeah. Well, better than irritating.
This is going bad, and we haven't even been on here 5 minutes yet.
Well, you know, there's just only so much joy the world can survive. So I have to, you know, like pin it down with a little bit of, you know, serious conversation, which is what I'm trying to do. And you're not helping.
Well, I'm sorry. You called the wrong person if you wanted help with that.
Actually, I didn't call you. You called into the station. Minor detail.
Oh, and then there's that.
So, yeah, so it's great. It's spring. It's beautiful. The weather is good. Life is good. We had an interesting show this last week on Laughing, Loving, and Alive.
Oh, well, you called it interesting. I called it, I don't know, intermittent was for me.
I was thinking it was more like ode to technical hell.
Yeah, and I need to get that worked out for sure.
Yeah, it's okay. Moving on up, moving on out. We go into a Mercury retrograde at the end of the week. Tech stuff's going to be even more funky than normal. And, you know, this may be the perfect time for you to get figured out, because if Mercury was retrograde when everything in your tech life around the show that you struggled with off and on for a while went to hell in a handbasket, it will need to be fixed when Mercury is retrograde. Part of the cycle stuff. We should check that out.
If it helps me, I will check out whatever it is you tell me to check out. I promise you that.
Well, so then next time we're on Laughing, Loving, and Alive, I'll stand up, turn around, I'll let you check out my butt and tell me what you think, and, you know, and that'll help. I guarantee you.
Never a dull moment. Never a dull moment.
So, you do have some exciting things going on. I also have some exciting things going on. If we have time, we might get to those as well. But we're having you on the show to talk about your exciting things. So talk to the listeners. Talk to our listeners today. And I'm going to ask you to get serious for a minute. What are all of the costs that you think that most people who have been lucky enough to never be touched in a close circle way by cancer, a breast cancer, because I know that that's the area that you really have done a lot of your work in. What are the kind of like expenses and what are the kind of added stresses that people don't realize are going on for not only the person who is, the patient, but then the spouse, the family, all of those. What are the things that you think that people just don't realize are the additional costs of that kind of situation?
You know, I know that people don't realize these because they come up and say it. You know, even simple things like parking. They're like, well, parking is only $5. Well, if your copay is $500, $5 is a lot of money, especially if you're doing it, 3, 4, 5 days a week. Things like maybe indulging in a lunch, a simple lunch, a sandwich, being able to keep your utilities on, being able to pay your mortgage or rent. That's a stressor, especially if, whether you're single and you're the only person bringing in an income, of course, that's super stressful. But if you have a second person and maybe you have kids and you're a two-income household, again, that's stressful for the other person as well as you, because you're like, oh my goodness, I'm bringing down the whole, the whole apartment or the whole household. Those are some of the things that people don't really think about, because those bills, they have to be paid. The hospitals and doctors, and rightfully so, they want to be paid at the time that they're getting chemo or service or whatever it is you're getting. And those costs, people don't realize sometimes the insurance companies don't even pay for those. Like, you might get a pill. I have a couple of friends. They have this pill that's like in place of chemo, and they only need 2 pills a month. And people are like, okay, that's not bad, but each pill is $5,000. And that's with insurance.
Yep. And then there are things like supplies that nobody would keep in their house, that somebody during a chemo set of treatments or things like that might now need to stock up on.
Right.
Might need, you go and, a family of four, they go and it's $500 to buy groceries for a week or a week and a half. And now you add in all of the additional things that might be needed because of the chemo,
right.
the sick, if there is some kind of, stuff, you know, if they're doing a incision, if they're doing a biopsy. I mean, there are all these little, and that 500 becomes 750 suddenly, or
right.
600, whatever. And
right.
The income is down because the person can't work and they're not feeling well. And there is the cost of the family having to pick up whatever role that person was doing on those days that they're too sick to do it. I mean, there's a cost there as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And people don't realize that. I mean, even, you know, a spouse that now has to learn how to help their spouse walk or go to the bathroom, because that takes time and there's a cost that that takes away from, you know, the family component as well. Or having, you know, begging and pleading with someone to help you. Because a lot of times, you know, it's not really patient care.
Yeah. And I think that one of the things that I've thought for a long time, and you and I have actually never had this part of the conversation before, but when you put together, because you and I have had this part of the conversation. You should have at the table everybody you want to have at the table. Traditional, alternative, if you want acupuncturists, if you want naturopaths, if you want herbalists, if you want medical intuitives, you should have everybody at the table that you want to have at the table to help you man this crisis. But the insurance company is going to tell you what is acceptable and everything else you, even if sometimes you can't even get some of the traditional medical people to even consider letting other people at the table. I mean, they push back or fight with you about it.
Right.
But if they do allow them at the table, those are all your private expenses. And you think you're going to get any help with those? No.
No, at all. On
you
any
are,
level.
Yep. You are cattle chuted into exactly what Western medicine wants you to do.
Right. Completely. You are definitely forced into a space that a lot of people do not want to be in.
And then let's talk about the expense that oftentimes ends up not ever happening that I think should be mandatory is the cost being covered for mental health care for the person and the family during the time to some degree.
That's not even going to happen. That's so rare. And for the places and the people that I've worked that have done it, it's someone like you or someone like me who's like, let's start a, you know, a volunteer service, or let's bring in people one, you know, a support group once a week, or, you know, whatever it is on Zoom or whatever. So we can talk about that. I mean, I don't even understand why that's not included, but it should be, because it's draining. It's exhausting. People commit suicide. People go into depression. I mean, it breaks up homes and friendships. It's an atrocity.
The fact that people ignore the mental health cost of having what could easily be a terminal diagnosis in a family is beyond imagination to me. That it
yeah.
would not be a, you know, this mother comes home with a diagnosis of breast cancer and she has got an 8 and an 11-year-old. I mean, I remember, you know, because I just had Cody on the show.
Right, right.
And we were talking about how she handled her breast cancer diagnosis with her two kids, or didn't, and the ramifications of that. We didn't have that conversation when she was on Laughing, Loving, and Alive, but, you know, I had it with her on the Dr. Kevin show, because I'm like, these are the issues that get completely thrown away, but you know, mommy's got this thing, and there's no 9-year-old or 11-year-old that hasn't going to have heard breast cancer and have it scare the bejesus out of them that mommy has it.
Right. And you don't know what that means, even because I know adults, when they receive the information, everybody has the look of that person's going to die, because they cannot process that there might be a treatment or you're okay. So I can't imagine in a kid's brain what the process might be when you hear that.
Yep. I don't know if I've ever told you this story or not, but when I was like 14, my mother had a lump in her breast. And
no, I don't think so.
And so they came home. I was the only child still living at home. They told me that my mother was going to have to go in for a procedure, that there was a lump in her breast, that, you know, they had to see whether it was benign or whether it was, God, my brain's gone. but that they were going to have to do that and that she was going to be going to the hospital in a few days and blah, blah, blah. And they told me ahead of time and they did it and then basically shooed me out of the room. I mean, like, I was like, go, you know, this is upsetting to your mother. Don't talk to her about it. So my stepfather told me, my mother didn't tell me, my stepfather told me, and then told me I couldn't talk to my mother about it because it would upset her because she was upset by it. I was like 14. I actually called my mother's best friend from high school and said, this is what's going on. You need to go over here. You need to come over here and you need to be here for my mother because they won't let me be here for my mother and she shouldn't be alone. Because it was the only thing I knew to do.
Right, of course. And back then it wasn't like you had Google.
No. Oh, God. You didn't even have computers back then.
Yeah.
They were still using
Abacus.
Oh, advocacy.
My goodness. I hope everybody knows what that is. That's only one hair away from a rock.
Yeah, yeah. We will be right back on the Dr. Kevin Show with our guest tonight, Rain Thomas.
Woohoo!
Conscious media for conscious minds. Om Times. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
COVID-19, brought to you by CDC and the Ad Council.
If you're feeling increasingly lonely right now, you're not alone. It's totally normal. Even though we may not be able to get together in person, connecting virtually with friends and family still gives you a chance to interact with people and may help raise your spirits. Join a virtual book club, set up group text chats, or online video coffee breaks with coworkers.
Find more self-care and coping tips at coping-19.org.
Hello and welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show. We are here on We're here this week with Rain Thomas, our Prunes Are Sexy girl. You can find out more about Rain at prunesaresexy.com. Rain has been a big advocate, supporter, and fundraiser to help people that have had the misfortune of getting breast cancer within themselves or within their family, and has done work to support both, not just the patient, but the people who are also impacted by the diagnosis. I was talking about, you know, that at 14, I just called my mother's best friend and said, you had to come over, right? I was like, you need to come and do, like, because I had this deep And, you know, it ended up being benign. It ended up not being a big deal. I ended up getting yelled at for making the phone call because my mother didn't want to tell anybody.
So he's going to say you probably got yelled at about the call.
But I didn't really care. But, you know, I mean, we're talking, it was 1974. Breast cancer from any brush by I had, it was a terminal diagnosis in my head.
Yeah. Yep.
And she had a lump in her breast, which is one step away from saying you have breast cancer, too close. And I remember I had this deep need that I needed to feel like I could do something. I had to feel like I needed to do something. And I think that that may be more common in kids who have a parent with a diagnosis, that they want to feel like there's something that they can do, whatever it is. Does that make sense?
That's very true. Yeah. And it's not just kids. It's actually adults too. It's funny because adults, if they don't feel like they can do something, sometimes they just kind of fall off and they don't help at all because they're like, I can't do a ton, so I'll do nothing.
Yep.
And kids will do anything because to them that looks like a big step.
Yes. Well, and I think the reason, not just because I was a kid when it happened and I was a precocious kid, if you can call a 14-year-old a kid. Well, you can call me today.
But you were back then. We knew a lot less than they know now at 14.
Yeah. But I think the reason that I do this, and again, we recently had Cody Gaspier from ULASH, which is a set of lashes that people that are going through chemo can actually use, because most people going through chemo losing their eyelashes can't use traditional eyelashes. And she developed it as a breast cancer. When she had breast cancer, she came out of it and helped invent these things. But, you know, the when we talked about how her kids struggled because she tried to hide it from them and they knew and they found out but wouldn't say anything because she didn't say anything.
Right, right.
And, you know, adults may go and say, what can I do? How can I help? But I think a parent's natural thing would be to protect their child instead of recognizing my child needs to definitely give something that is going to calm them or soothe them or make them feel like they are being part of the solution. And I think the kids need to have that done is much easier to get dismissed than if an adult shows up and says, what can I do? Or has more capacity to do something like, well, I'm going to come bring you lunch at your chemo and lunch is on me. That's a big deal. You said, you know, those $5 lunches add up.
Absolutely.
And $5 lunches usually are not nutritionally healthy foods that are going to only interfere, you know, because good food is expensive because they give you the really bad food cheaply because you become an addict and you become obese and the American Drug Association becomes wealthy.
Oh, God.
No
oh,
opinions
God.
Here.
That's a whole different, like, arm wrestling match.
Okay, so what else? What else would you want to share to our listeners that you have seen? Because when did you start making breast cancer your cause, so to speak, for lack of a better term?
I started in 1976, and it was when my uncle was in the hospital. It had nothing to do with cancer. But that's when people would like visit all day and then, you know, 2 hours you couldn't visit and then you went back and stayed another 4 hours. And I mean, I was a kid. I was bored out of my head. And so the oncology nurse actually was the head nurse, and she had asked my mom if I could do the rounds with her. So I didn't know what oncology meant, but she told me, and she says, I'll, you know, introduce you to the patients. And a lot of patients talk freely because, like you said earlier, when you were diagnosed with any kind of cancer, that was a death sentence back then, like death. And so I saw different forms of cancer, but, you know, the women who had breast cancer, it was just a hack job. And then, you know, I saw people with other kinds of cancer, and, you know, then the nurse was like, well, this person's not going to get better. They're not going to go home and this and that. And chemo was just really horrific sin. So I learned a lot. And she said, you know, a lot of these people, what they need is someone to talk to or play checkers with or sing them a song. And I thought, well, you know, I'm a kid. I can do that. Why isn't everybody doing that? And it just kind of started from there. I mean, I didn't know I was going anywhere with it. I was just, you know, doing what I do normally, talking and singing and, you know, playing games with people. And here we are, you know, 100 years later, still doing that, you know, and trying to make a difference on some level.
Yes. I know that sometimes you can be date and number challenged, but it really is not 2176. So it really is not 100 years later. I feel old enough as it is. Let's not add 50 years, okay? 60 years, 70 years. Just saying. So
my math is horrible.
You're telling me. So I'm impressed, because a lot of times adults try to hide things like this from kids, like it's too much, it's too traumatizing, instead of knowing that a child can be the perfect solution to bring some kind of joy or lightness to somebody who is sitting there having their chemo or trying to survive.
Right. Right. Because kids don't see the trauma in it. And we're also talking about a different kind of kid. Because back then, you know, I'm a New York City kid. I mean, you know, New York was a real hardened city. So I had seen it all and heard it all. Like, most kids weren't surprised by a lot of stuff that's going on. But just being in there, I was fascinated that you could go someplace like a hospital and there were people who were trained in something that could save your life. And if I could play just a little part in their comfort, I just thought, oh, okay, that's got to be great, right? So I'm playing my part in it. I saw the scariness in it. I just didn't see the fear in it back then.
So I'm going to break the cardinal rule, because in a backwards way, how old were you when you say you were a kid?
I was 9, 10.
Okay.
Yeah. I was like 9 or 10.
Yeah. I knew you were younger than me, but I didn't know by how much, but that's not why the question was. I was just trying to just, for our listeners, kind of say, what age kid are we talking about?
It probably started at 9, because I think my uncle went in there March or April of 76. So I would have been like 9.
Okay. Okay. So now you, as an adult, also made the choice to get involved with breast cancer. Why and when did that happen?
I don't think it was a choice. It had just been ongoing. I mean, I continued to volunteer for lots of different things growing up. I volunteered for muscular dystrophy, multiple sclerosis, Special Olympics. I mean, I was always volunteering because, you know, I always thought it was the right thing to do. We were supposed to help each other. And I just kept going. And it just kind of funneled into breast cancer maybe about 25 years ago, because it was becoming more prevalent in younger women. Because before, you know, people had breast cancer, they were like in their 60s and 70s. And then all of a sudden, here were these women in their 50s and 40s. And, you know, they're saying you can't have a mammogram unless you're over 40 or 50, because breast cancer doesn't happen until then. And breast cancer doesn't happen until to men. And none of that is true. So people just kept bringing me in to talk about it. And my big thing is, be informed, don't be afraid. Don't go sticking your head in the sand saying, well, it's not my family and I don't eat sugar and blah, blah, blah. You need to understand wellness, because it can happen to anyone. And it just kind of just kept going from there. And I thought, you know, this is much bigger than I even know. And I don't know how they're going to fix it.
So educate, informed, stay out of denial and pretend.
Oh, so, yeah, for sure.
There is there are definitely stages of grief getting a cancer diagnosis, because there is a death of an old life that will never exist exactly like it did before. And I think that oftentimes, because we have been trained to be so fearful and resistant to death as a concept in of itself, that we have become frightened by any kind of death. Like we, but death is just transition. And from the moment we're born, all we're doing is going through a series of deaths and rebirths until we hit the grave.
Right.
That's all life is.
Right. Right.
Death and rebirth. Death
that is
and rebirth.
It.
But when you have something that is a cancer diagnosis, that is a death. Your life will not exist like it did before. You can come out on the other side of it. It definitely doesn't have to kill you, and survive. The survival rate is higher than it was in the 70s.
Yes, it is.
But it still has to be acknowledged as a death, because you, for the rest of your life, will have to always be aware on some level of the checkups, and that it could come back, and how has it changed your life. And we all know that a diagnosis like a breast cancer could end up with fractured families and divorces, or all sorts of things happen.
Yep, that's for sure.
So before we get into the latest thing that you're doing to help raise awareness and funds for people impacted for cancer, what are any other messages that you would want my audience to hear from your lips, from the lips of Rain? Because we all know how special Rain's lips are. In fact, we're going to find out just how special in just a few minutes.
They're probably like, what is going on here?
Hey, you know, some people, you know, they're a leg person. For some people, they're a butt person. I'm just a lip person. That's all. I love a great set of lips.
And this works for me.
Yes, because you have a great set of lips.
Thank you.
Anyways, what else would you want to share that if somebody just got the diagnosis, that somebody in their family, most often it's going to be a woman, but it can be a man. Men get breast cancer.
Yes, they do.
What would you want to say to them?
One, I would say stay on top of it. You know, you stay on top of your diagnosis. I'm one of those people get a second opinion, because there are lots of stuff going on where people are rushing through and they're just like, yeah, chemo. No, get a second opinion if you can. And immediately, like, I know people who are diagnosed and they're like, well, I'm going to think about it for 6 months and then go, no. It can take off and become stage 4 instantly. Don't hide your head in the sand. Be informed. Don't be in fear. And, you know, if you have a support system, reach out to them. Just remember, not everybody's a support system, because I had people say weird stuff because they didn't know what else to say. So just make sure, you just be your own advocate. And, yeah, you're probably going to be scared, and that's okay, but you still need to take all the necessary steps as soon as possible so that you can fight it quickly and aggressively.
And I'm going to add to that from my perspective, because as you know, in my practice, I'm working with two people right now that have breast cancer in my medical intuitive alternative practice. There are lots of avenues, and some crossover, some interweave with the more traditional thinking, some really go way outside that box. I think it's important for you with this diagnosis to, first of all, choose and invite your support team. Who are they going to be? Who are the ones that are going to not feed into your fears, or you better do what they say, or, you know,
right,
that aren't going to, you have to say, who are my most level-headed, clear-thinking, will be honest with me at all costs, but gentle to people in my life. And it may be a second or third round person. It may be somebody that you say, you know, I've known this person for years and we were never all that close, but we've always had kind of a bond and I've always respected. If that person, when you start to think of who do I want on my team that I can talk with or ask, you know, that might come and sit with me if I go, you know, chemo or just, you know, whatever, start putting that team together in your head.
Yeah.
As quickly as possible. And then don't make any assumptions. Be clear and say, this is what I'm asking of you. Can you be my backup? I'm falling apart. This is scaring the shit out of me. And I feel like I'm being pushed into a set of treatment I don't want, or I feel like I'm being too pushed too fast, or I feel like I'm not being heard, or I don't know what to do because my significant other has completely shut down and has withdrawn and it's killing me and I don't even know how to talk to them. I just need a sounding board. You're not here to fix my problems. You're here to be my sounding board and make me feel like it's going to be okay.
You're absolutely right. That's exactly. You need your team to make you feel strong and secure and able.
And then choose the medical team that is in alignment with who you are and how you see your health care. Don't give your power away to anybody, traditional or alternative, that they're going to make all the best decisions for you. Because everything they say is based on the experience they have. And whatever experience they have, it is not you. You are a unique, one-of-a-kind being, and this will be a unique, one-of-a-kind experience that will have some similarities, but isn't just going to be like everybody else that they have helped with breast cancer.
You and I are going to get a call from, like, Blue Cross Blue Shield today. I see that coming.
And it ain't going to be pretty?
Nope.
Oh, well, that's okay. I'll put on my best set of heels. I'll retouch up my lip gloss and put my pearls on, and I'll answer the phone and go, and the horse you rode it on, honey.
And you know what? Right up. I've done it, so it's not pretty, but when you know who you are and what you're out there to fight for, you can get some things done, but you know that already.
Oh, yeah, baby, I'm a fighter.
Big surprise. Me too. Me too.
Yeah, I know. So,
I like that music.
We have, in our last segment, we're going to unveil Rain's latest project. Prepare yourself with a big smile, purse your lips, and send us a kiss here on the Dr. Kevin Show.
Yay!
The Real Conscious Connection. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Vox Novus, the new voice. Vox Novus, the new dimension. Vox Novus, thought and movement leaders who will share from their experience and offer tools to help us navigate our rapidly changing world. My name is Victor Furman. Join me every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio for Vox Novus, the new voice.
If I could be you.
And you could be me. For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
A Hello, 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 and welcome back to the last segment of the Dr. Kevin Show on the last Thursday in May here on Om Times. Where we're changing the world, wait for it, one Om at a time. And you can be part of this conversation. You can call in and ask questions or share stories or comments. Connect with Rain, connect with me by dialing 202-570-7057. Again, that's 202-570-7057. And you too can be part of the conversation. So speaking of conversations with Rain Thomas, and we're discussing sometimes the unrealized needs of or things that go on when a cancer diagnosis, in this case, we're talking mostly breast cancer diagnosis, but any cancer diagnosis would fit into most of what we have said, if not all, has arrived at the doorstep. But this young lady I'm talking to, starting at a very young age, has sang, tap danced, and played her backsides off of games, laughter, and fun to bring joy and healing and some kind of comfort to people suffering with cancer and other diseases. She's also raised money, been involved with lots of stuff. She's also a talented actress and singer, and she has more talents and more facets than the Hope Diamond. But we're just focusing on one of them tonight.
I love it.
So, you have many events that you've done in the past that you'll continue to do to help raise awareness, to help raise money, to raise things. And if people want to know about more of what you're doing to help the community and get involved in anything that you're doing to support your help, and she doesn't take a paycheck from this. None of it's going into a side drawer for her to have a cushy Manhattan Avenue corner office. She does everything out of the goodness of her heart. And I'm sure that some of the money that needs to happen to help facilitate people who donate things or do things, I suspect some of that comes out of her pocket. Not that I know that to be true, but I know who she
is. It's true. Yeah.
I figured as much. You had sucker written all over you, honey. No.
Yeah, you're right. Yep.
But tell the world what you have done, the world of Dr. Kevin. Share your latest mad, crazy way in which you are raising money to help people with breast cancer and the families and the supports of those people.
Well, you know, Dr. Kevin, like you said, there's, you know, fundraising for people. They hear fundraising and they think of like these giant organizations and, you know, the money goes to like paychecks and this tiny portion goes to survivors or something close to it. I work with shoestring organizations, or when I say shoestring, sometimes they don't have even a dollar, and they go into communities globally and show them how to raise money in their community. Even if they only raised $100, you've raised $100. And now you know how to raise more the next time. So I try to keep it fresh and take fresh and new things for people to use as a fundraiser or for fundraising. And this year I thought of, you know, well, I thought of this for a few years and I was like, wouldn't it be fun to have a lip gloss or something that was as little in chemicals as possible so that survivors could use it or people could buy it and sponsor it for survivors or survivor families and have them feel good, not some bright color, just something light, give them a pop, you know, just especially when you're, you know, doing chemo or coming out of the chemo. And so I thought about it for a few years, especially after one of my friends, Dana, had me do the runway in for New York Fashion Week for Cancerland to raise monies. I came up with the Rainwear, the Never Alone collection. And I thought, wouldn't that be great if you receive that, you don't even know who it's from, but every time you look at it and you think about cancer or your diagnosis or if you're going through treatment or a friend that has passed, you will always know that you are never alone in your fight, that people all over the world are helping you. So that's where it came up with. And I went to five friends because I'm only doing six colors a year or maybe every 6 months. But I went to five women and I said, I need you to make up a color. And they're like, what do you mean? Like make up like mint green? No, somebody already has mint green. Like be creative. So my five friends didn't know what it was for. And they each created a color and I created mine and sent it off to the person who takes care of all of that behind the scenes and created the six colors. And women have been buying them and sending to women, and men have been buying them too and sponsoring them and donating them to women at hospitals and clinics and things of that nature. And of course, a portion of all of that goes towards vetted survivors or to send gifts to a survivor who, you know, has passed on to her husband and their little kids. So, you know, maybe you'll put in a gift card, you know, in kind with other donor stuff, but that's the latest collection for women by women, the Never Alone collection.
You know, good-hearted people in the dictionary, there's a picture of rain.
Oh, but we're all doing that. Well, maybe not all of us, but a lot of us are doing it.
Yes, but you're out there actively doing it as part of the stream of your life.
Yes.
People, how often do people end up getting something done because they jumped on the on the engine that the rain train created to make it move forward?
I'm hoping a lot over the years. I just want people to know it can happen to you. And if the misfortune of it happening comes along, I want you to understand that there is help. Because a lot of times when people say, oh, well, I gave to this place and I gave to that place, I'm like, well, where's the money going? Because you see, I put pictures up, like, people don't realize it's expensive to mail gifts. The postage is outrageous. And, you know, I do it after I do all my stuff during the day. And I have so many wonderful donors who send stuff. And some donors will send a check. They're like, do whatever you need to do because I know it's going to someplace great. And, you know, $2,000, somebody will donate. But, you know, $2,000 goes far and not so far depending on who the patient is. Because, you know, we had Trouble, the dog. I've had some of those sent out to people I don't know in honor of, you know, Laughing, Loving, Alive and in honor of Trouble, the dog. And, you know, by the time you finish, you've sent out 10 things. That's $2,000.
Yep. Yep. Just like we were talking earlier about the inherent cost of or the cost that people don't think of that come with a cancer diagnosis, of the cost that people don't think of that come with those people trying to help the people with the cancer diagnosis. All of
right.
those things, of, you know, that, you know, the you can't go to the post office and say, well, would you, it's for a good cause and it's a donation and it's a charity, so can
yeah.
you not charge
no.
us?
No. Never going to happen.
No.
Never.
So, what are the six colors? You got to tell us what the six colors are.
Oh, my God. You know, some of them I can't even pronounce because they're not even real colors. But we have one of my friends. She did Zasper, which is really pretty beautiful. They're all, like, neutral, so they go with everybody. It's kind of a bronze. And then we have Scacalism, which is kind of a gold sheen. Cobatual, which actually looks like it sounds. It's this beautiful pop of purple with little sparkly pinks in it. And we have Frog on a Bog, which is super popular. It's kind of an earthy tone. If you could imagine a frog on a bog, that's exactly what it would look like. And let's see, Hedgehog Champagne, which has this really beautiful sheen to it, too. It's earthy, light. And then, of course, you have the one that I created called Runaway Train. And it's pink, and it's light, and it's bold, and they're all just so super light with just a hint of color.
They sound fabulous. And, you know, people oftentimes don't realize that offsetting some of the emotional toll, the stress, the fear, the smallest act of kindness
mm-hmm.
to somebody going through that can make a difference on how well their day goes. It can even affect, I believe, the way how well does their chemo take or how well does
right.
their system. You know, like, it's, you know, we know Sheila. I've known Sheila for years. I've been pushing Trouble the Dog for years before I ever even knew you. I've had her on so many of the Dr. Kevin shows through the years. Anytime she gives me an excuse to promote what she's doing. But the Trouble the Dog, to look and to have a Trouble of the Dog make you feel not alone. To have this Rain, You're Not Alone, the Rain collection. You're not alone. And the smallest acts of joy and kindness can bring such a difference. And people who have never had that kind of struggle don't understand it. And it's not that they're being uncompassionate or whatever, but if you have not been feeling like you're fighting for your life and you're overwhelmed, and at some point you think about, oh my God, you know, like, you know, how many people end up losing a house or losing
oh, yeah.
all of their savings, they lose all uh-huh. their retirement, they end up bankrupt because of the cost of the medical system. And like, but they, how can I not, I can't not pay it. Right. I have to do everything that I can do to survive this, because what good is the money if I'm dead?
Right. Right.
So,
it's a vicious circle.
So tell people, where can they go if they would like to donate or find out more about any of the things you're doing, any of the projects you're involved in, any of the things that they could do to help support either people that have been diagnosed with breast cancer or the families of those people, their support systems?
You know, I tell people just to email me, because sometimes people will look on the site and they're like, oh, I don't know anybody who would want wine or lip gloss, but I want to help. And then they feel like I don't know what to do. So I have them email me. And because sometimes people say, well, all I have is $25. Is that going to help? I'm like, how about you go ahead and buy a $25 bottle of wine and I will send it to the survivor? Because usually at a fundraiser, that's what people do. People don't drink, they buy a case, and then, you know, the money goes to a vetted family. Since the whole COVID thing, that's very different. So I just have people send me an email at prunes, PRUNESARESEXY at hotmail.com. Prunes are sexy. And then you can say, I want to get involved. How can I help? How much money do you need? What do you need? Socks? What can I do? And I like to do it on a personal basis too, because I get to know the person, and some people have more than others to donate or help with. And I don't want anybody to feel like, well, I only have $5. I'm not going to bother her. I can't even afford to buy a lip gloss, because that's not true. Every dollar helps. Every dime helps.
Okay. So now I'm feeling guilty because I bought a case of your wine, but I insisted you send it to me.
But I did send it to you, but think about it. Portions of that have gone to a survivor who passed away. She passed away at 27.
Oh.
So it went to that, and a Trouble the Dog went to her husband and her little boy.
Oh. So
there's nothing so guilty. I mean, you are supporting the cause.
I know. And I have people that have been touched by breast cancer in my life. And so I wanted to actually give these bottles of wine with the story behind them to those people. Plus, I wanted to have one to drink myself because I'm a lush.
Well, good. That's who do you think keeps this going for me?
So, what other wisdoms? We're probably within 90 seconds to maybe 2 minutes of we're going to hear the wrap down music. What else would you like to share? What other wisdom? What else would you like to leave our clients? Could you tell us the end of my day?
Yes.
Our listeners with.
I just want people again to be informed. Don't be in fear. You know, reach out to someone, anyone, if that's in your family. And if you want to help, don't always feel like writing a check is the thing to do, because sometimes people only need someone to talk to on the phone, or someone to visit, or someone to drop by and share a burger with, or to hold their hand. Or, you know, a lot of survivors, when they're going through chemo, they're like, believe it or not, Rain, I just need a pair of socks. And I have a friend, Michelle, who's getting ready to retire out of her shop, and I don't know what to do without her. But when I tell her survivors need, like, I have a survivor that needs socks, she sends like 100 pair of socks. That person's feet are never cold again. But that person also shares with, you know, the hospitals. If you want to get in contact with me and do something, please just call me. I just want everybody, we're here to take care of each other. And I think that's what we should be doing. And that's a big thing, which is why I love working with you, Dr. Kevin, and of course, Elmer in our podcast, but in any capacity, because you guys always inspire me to do more.
Thank you. Rain Thomas, one of my favorite people, my co-host for Laughing, Loving, and Alive. You can catch Rain, I, and Elmer on Laughing, Loving, and Alive on the second and fourth Sundays of every month on our Facebook Live page at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 7 o'clock Pacific, where we always have a round of exciting guests to help with the Laughing, Loving, and Alive theme of bringing joy, insight, and inspiration into the world. And if there's anybody that's inspiring, it's my co-host, Rain Thomas.
Yay!
Love you, honey.
Love you too, darling. Thank you.